Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course at thekickasslife.com.
Jambo, fellow adventurers, this is Mike Dooley, and you are listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey there, welcome to the show. This is New Year's Eve, and you are probably listening to this on after New Year's. So I want to take you back to that memorable moment when we were counting down to a happy new year. And this is Barbara Streisand. Just listen in as we ring in the new year. And I have a great show for you. So hang on to your hats. Hang on to your hats. Here we go. Saw the New Year's in. Welcome to 2014. I can tell you this is going to be a incredible year for everybody who wants it to be. You know, it's all about a choice. It's all about starting the year right and understanding that time does pass quickly. And so today I'm going to go through a number of things. I want to share a great story with you, an old classic, and the lessons within that story as we set up for 2014, and then bring some stats and some a new perspective on setting resolutions. I did send a video out to my database earlier this, about a week ago, with some ideas around that. I'll explore that a little bit more closely on a personal level. So again, sort of hang in there, and again, I just want to welcome you to 2014. And it's been really great this week. I did take a week off from the show. That's always hard to do in some ways, especially if you're as committed as I am to this particular show. But it was just wonderful to be with the kids and Jen and my ex-wife Pam. We all celebrated Christmas together up on the ski hill. We have a little ski lodge there. And some friends, Mike and Donna, and their kids came up as well, and Paul. So it was pretty crammed, but it was wonderful. Some skiing, lots of games. You know, we didn't buy a whole lot of gifts. We actually re-gifted for the adults, and just got the kids a couple of small gifts each. So really, it was really a wonderful time. So again, as we sort of start looking forward, the artist that I'm going to bring into today's show, and you'll probably get the understanding of why I chose him today, is a guy that's been through a lot of ups and downs and really being able to come through real valleys of despair to find himself and to grow himself to be an exceptional human being. And so I just want to start with one of his songs, and let's sit back and enjoy. And remind you that all of the songs, all of the links, all of the quotes, you can find them on a show notes at thekickasslife.com. So here we go. Listen to this guy.
Hey, 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 baby, hey. I love you, baby. Sure ain't gonna be your dog.
One of the best guitarists in the world, and you must have guessed who it was, Eric Clapton. And we'll be exploring a little bit of his work as we go through the show today. You know, as I start looking forward to 2014, I know for me I have a lot of big plans, working hard at some new things. I have a global vision right now as to bring my work to a sort of a global. Well, I mean, the show's already in 200 countries almost, just under 200 countries. But I'm talking about sort of a global impact where we can really build a machine and allow people to really enter through one door and follow a pathway to success in all areas of their life. So, you know, that's going to take a lot of work, and we're really excited about it. And I just want to sort of commend again my new business manager and somebody who we're developing a really, really close friendship. He's a exceptional guy, exceptional heart, exceptional integrity, which is always big. Casey Golden. So you'll be hearing me talk a lot about him in the coming months and years, and he'll be contacting you as well. And some of you may have already heard from him. So Casey, thanks so much for really helping us get this year off to a great start. And again, be patient with us in the first few months because we still have a lot of work to do. With that being said, though, if you're brand new to the show, I want to remind you that all of the shows, we've just put them back up on iTunes. We went through a phase there where we only had 10 shows currently up there. But if you want to go back and listen to some of the greats that have been on the show, and some of the great shows have not just been the most famous people we've had on. Of course, we've had Tim Ferriss and Jack Canfield and Marcy Shimoff and Lisa Nichols and Mike Dooley, and almost everyone from The Secret has been on the show. They are friends of mine, and I'm very fortunate to call them friends. But also to for the people who have people I've tripped across, whose stories have been so compelling, and their lessons and their life lessons have been really, really remarkable. So if you want to go back into the archives, you can find that on YouTube, or you can go back to the website. And again, that everything will be changing. So we're not making a lot of changes to what you're seeing right now, but it will be changing. So with that being said, I thought we'd explore something really, really beautiful. I don't know if you have ever watched the movie It's a Wonderful Life. And, you know, It's a Wonderful Life is a fascinating story of a guy called Bill Bailey, who truly leads a beautiful life. He lives in a small town, and it's a classic black and white movie. And I really, really love the movie, the message in the movie. And I want to explore that a little bit because, you know, there's a lot of things that we can be doing on a daily basis that are so simple and bring so much wealth outside of the financial realm and really fill us up as human beings. And I really want to start there this year because it's great setting goals. I get that. And we're going to look at that, setting some really powerful resolutions for this year and how to sort of stick to those things and some of the things that need to be in place for that. We're going to go through that in a moment. But really looking at this story, and as I share this story with you, I want you to think about the world that you live in and the impact you can have. Now, this guy, George Bailey, is a sort of, you know, all-around great guy. You know, he saved his brother's life when he was a young kid, when he was just 7. You know, he really wanted to do good in the world. And there's a guy in the town who's really a bad guy and, you know, rich and miserable and grumpy, like a bar humbug kind of guy. And George Bailey sort of always looks out for the little guy, is always doing kind things every single day. And when I talk about this idea that we can do these random acts of kindness every day and really what happens when we do, this story really illustrates that. And if you haven't watched the whole movie, sit down and watch it. I guarantee you'll need Kleenex at the end. But I really want us to reflect on what if, just for a second here, and I won't overdwell on this, but I'm going to play you a few clips from the movie itself. So this is George. You know, he doesn't have a lot of money, but he's always looking out for people. This is a scene where somebody in town here, he took her under his wing like he did most other people and just helped out when she needed it. So listen in as we explore this one.
Here you are.
Character. If I had any character...
Well, it takes a lot of character to leave your hometown and start all over again.
I'm not, George. Here. Don't.
No, here. Now, you're broke, aren't you?
I know, but...
What do you want to do? Hawk your furs and that hat? Want to walk to New York? You know, they charge for meals and rent up there just the same as doing Bedford Falls.
Yeah, sure.
No, no, it's a loan. No, that's my business, building and loan. Besides, you'll get a job. Good luck to you.
I'm glad I know you, George Bailey.
So simple. It's such a simple thing to do. And again, this is lending money, but it's not about that. It's that sentiment. I'm so glad I know you, George Bailey. Now, he just reached out to her financially in that moment, which is a great thing to do. You know, if you can and you can help out, why not? Why not? But this is a story of a guy that sort of builds this development for the small guy, and he lends them money, and people buy shares in his building and loan business. And, you know, he never really has much. He has four kids and is married to the girl of his dreams, but he just is a guy who cares, and he lives that sort of philosophy every single day. And I know people like this, and it's not a hard thing to adopt. So as we start stepping into 2014, you know, this idea of looking and being aware of every single time we can help. And it can be tiny things, it can be big things, it can be, you know, and again, I don't like talking about some of the random acts of kindness that I personally do, but I have mentioned this one before, and I will mention it again because it was a simple thing. A couple of Christmases ago, I walked into a Subway sandwich shop, and there were two girls behind the counter that were obviously not from Kelowna. And I started chatting to them and asking them what their plans were for Christmas. And they said, "Oh, you know, we're so sad that we can't go home." Thank you, Jen. Jen just brought me a shake. That we can't go home down to the Caribbean. And we were lucky, you know, we had lots of points on our it was part of our, you know, what do you call it? Flying points. So I said, "Hey, here's my girlfriend's number. Just give us a call later and we may be able to help." And we were able to fly them home for Christmas, you know, simple thing, use some points. Yeah. Could I have used them for myself? Yeah. Was it in that moment? My kids were with me as well, and they watched these things transpire every day. Now, that's considered quite a big thing to fly somebody, you know, from North America down to the Caribbean. You know, I don't know what it is, 25, 50,000 points. But very, very simple to say yes. And there's some of you out there right now who have millions of points, or certainly enough points to maybe to create a trip for someone. And so I just, again, when we're looking for these possibilities, carrying someone's bag to the car, you know, clearing someone's snow, really, really simple things. And something that you're going to notice in the coming months is our focus on this, our focus on those small random acts of kindness that really, really impact the world we're in. And this story of George Bailey is a guy, again, who's had this impact on everyone around him. From a young guy, he's always been a guy that gives, puts other people first, serves his community, serves his friends, and really has this open heart, open philosophy, open door. And again, I urge you to watch it, but something goes on with this guy in the story. And what happens was, you know, there's a collapse. The bank goes bankrupt, and he's going to have to close his doors. And you know, he's just got married. He has this money put aside for their honeymoon. But, you know, they're just scraping by, and the guy that works for him loses his money. And this is where the guy who's all good, has given his whole life, he snaps. And here he is. He knows he's going to lose everything. He's going to lose his business. He's going to lose his business to the bad guy in town. And here he is with one of his employees that lost the money. And this is when he goes off the rails. And it's just a scene of him, instead of going home and being a present father, being kind to his kids, being kind to everyone around him, he snaps and he goes into that dark place, which is so easy to go when especially when financial things are going on. We know that, you know, about 80% of most divorces wouldn't occur for an extra $300 a month coming in their house. We know that most abuse, physical abuse of children, occurs because of financial stress. So all these things going on. So here's a guy who's a real good guy, done so much good, helped out, helped build the town, you know, helped really house a lot of people that would never have anything. And here he is going off the rails.
Listen to me. Think.
I can't think anymore, George. I can't think anymore. It hurts.
Where's that money, you silly, stupid old fool? Where's that money? Do you realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. That's what it means. One of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me.
So as the guy's defeated now, his employee, George goes home. And so walking into his house, this is something I think we all need to be aware of. You know, when stuff's going on in our life and we walk into our own home, one of the habits when I used to work in an office all the time is come home and get changed and leave all my stuff, all of the, any stresses, and have a shower before I sort of engaged with the family too much. Just get rid of all that stuff and sort of get back into being present. And I can't promise I'm always present, by the way. That's not the case. But here he is walking back into his family now where he's usually this great dad. And now because of this financial burden that's about to hit him, they're going to lose everything. And the impact it's going to have on everyone. He's now internalizing the demons coming out. So here he is at home with his kids.
Hello, darling.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello, Daddy.
How do you like it?
Bless you.
Did you bring the wreath?
Yes, Daddy. Did you bring the Christmas wreath?
What wreath?
Well, the Merry Christmas wreath with the window.
No, I left it at the office.
Is it snowing?
Yeah, it just started.
Well, where's your coat and hat?
Left them at the office.
What's the matter?
Nothing's the matter. Everything's all right.
Come on, Pete. You're a big boy. You can get this star up way up at the top.
There it is.
That's it. All right, fill in that little bare spot right there.
So kids are playing with him. He's internalizing, starting to get upset.
I had calls today about the parade, the banquet.
Everyone,
your mother's so excited.
Family is just really doing Christmas. He's in tears right now, hugging his son, and just thinking about what's going to happen to his family as he starts to unravel. That's his little daughter playing the piano. His wife suspects.
Must she keep playing that?
I have to practice it for the party tonight, Daddy.
Mom said we could stay up till midnight and sing Christmas carols.
Can you sing, Daddy?
Better hurry and shave. The families will be here soon.
Family? I don't want the families over here.
Come on out in the kitchen with me while I finish dinner.
Goofy!
Have a hectic day?
Oh, yeah. Another big red letter day for the Baileys.
Daddy, the Browns next door have a new car. You should see it.
Well, what's the matter with our car? Isn't it good enough for you?
Yes, Daddy.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Excuse you for what?
I burped.
All right, tell me you're excused. Now go on upstairs and see if little Zuzu wants anything.
Zuzu? Well, what's the matter with Zuzu?
Oh, she's got a cold. She's in bed. Caught it coming home from school. They gave her a flower for a prize, and she didn't want to crush it, so she didn't button up her coat.
What is it, sore throat or what?
Just a cold. The doctor says it's not.
The doctor?
Serious.
Was the doctor here?
Yes, I called him right away. He said it's nothing to worry
about. Is she
about.
Running a temperature? What is it?
Just a teensy one. 99.6. She'll be all right.
Of course, it's this old house. I don't know why we don't all have pneumonia. Drafty old barn of a place. Might well be living in a refrigerator. Why do we have to live here in the first place and stay around this measly, crummy old town?
George, what's wrong?
Wrong everything, Troy. You call this a happy family. Why do we have to have all these kids?
Dad, how do you spell Frankenstein?
I don't know. Troy, ask your mother.
Where are you going?
Going up to see Zeus.
You told me to write a play for tomorrow.
As he starts getting frustrated, and again, I let that play a little bit longer because it's so normal when we start to feel that stress that it sort of starts showing up everywhere. And the things that he loved about this old home, like every time he walked up the stairs, the sort of the handle came off the railing, you know, now today it's like, you know, whereas before it's kind of like, you know, it's just things we accept. Now everything starts to get annoying. Everything, every part of the story, you know, the kids, why this home, how do you compare it, right? And so, you know, he goes upstairs and sees his daughter, and then this is how he speaks to his school teacher as she phones to check on the little girl.
She ought to be out of bed in time to have her Christmas dinner.
Is that Zuzu's teacher?
Yes.
Let me see. Hello. Hello, Mrs. Welsh. Well, it's George Bailey. I'm Zuzu's father.
Say, what kind of a teacher are you anyway? What do you mean sending her home like that, half naked? You realize she'll probably end up with pneumonia on account of you?
George.
Is this the sort of thing we pay taxes for, to have teachers like you, stupid, silly, careless people, to send our kids home without any clothes on? You know, maybe my kids aren't the best dressed kids, and maybe they don't have any decent clothes. Oh, that's stupid.
Hello, Mrs. Welch. I want to apologize.
Anyway, you start to see him unravel, and really what happens is he goes off. And he gets into the situation where he realizes that he has a life insurance policy, and that the possibility is that he can kill himself, and everything would be better. The town would be better. His wife would be better. He's internalizing. And so, you know, this is a cute Christmas story, right? So what happens is a guardian angel is sent down to help him. And so the guardian angel, as he's about to throw himself off the bridge, he's, you know, he's at his wit's end. He's had a couple of drinks. He's angry with everyone. He's angry with life. He's frustrated. Now he's just thinking nonsense, right? He's about to throw himself off the bridge. And this angel, Clarence, comes along and throws himself in the water, knowing that deep down inside, this guy's a good guy. And there's no chance that this guy, in the most desperate of moments, is going to let him drown. He's going to dive in and save him. And so this is a scene just after he saves him, when he starts to share with him that he's an angel and he's come down to save him. So let's just listen to this one. So anyway, he dives in the water. He saves him, right? I just say it started at a different place, but anyway, so he's now getting changed. He's in this little hut here, and he's talking to him.
How did you happen to fall in?
I didn't fall in. I jumped in to save George.
You what? To save me?
Well, I did, didn't I? You didn't go through with it, did you?
Through with what?
Suicide.
Oh, it's against the law to commit suicide around here.
Yeah, it's against the law where I come from, too.
Oh, where do you come from?
Heaven.
So they think he's nuts.
Right away, quickly. That's why I jumped in. I knew if I were drowning, you'd try to save me. You see, you did. And that's how I saved you.
Very funny.
Your lip's bleeding, George.
Yeah. I got a bust in the jaw in answer to a prayer a little bit ago.
Oh, no, 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 George. I'm the answer to your prayer. That's why I was sent down here.
How'd you know my name?
Oh, I know all about you. I've watched you grow up from a little boy.
What are you, a mind reader or something?
No.
Well, who are you then?
Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
Oddbody? AS2, what's that, AS2?
Angel, second class.
Yeah, I know it seems a little crazy, but as we explore this, you know, we get this idea then. So he makes his wish. He wishes he'd never been born at all. And so his guardian angel says, well, let's go back. Let's go back into the town as if you weren't there. And this is the point I'm really trying to make on today's show. Before we get into the science of everything, is this idea that we can, you know, have such an impact on the world we're in every single day. And we can have it in a way that we don't even realize that our influences on our friends, our influences on our parents, our influences on our neighbors, our influences on our coworkers, just us being there. And especially once we start stepping into this sort of elevated life where we start to really expand the possibility, expand the connections, when we start to let go of our own fears and step into this connection that's richer, it's done. Unconditionally. And each one of us have the power to impact so many people on a daily basis. And I think most of us ignore that power. We totally don't get it, that we're having an impact. We're either affecting or infecting everything around us every single moment. And that we can, just by showing up, have this invisible impact that truly changes people. They're influenced by our very nature. They're influenced by our presence. They're influenced by who we are in the moment, by our connections, by our gratitudes, by our willingness to give, our willingness to share, our willingness to be open. You know, so then he sort of goes back. This is where George goes back. I only got a couple more scenes, but this is where he goes back and visits his mom. Well, he was never born. And she's a beautiful, light, kind, open woman, right? And they have a great family, but he's never been born. So he goes back and here she is opening the door, looking mean and dark and scowling and totally like, you know, he's trying to say, hey, mom, it's me. But of course, he was never born. So even the impact on our parents, who they become. And again, some of us have wacky parents. I get that. And some of us have wacky friends. And some of us maybe aren't in a place where we're seeing that impact just as much as we could right now. But maybe as you listen to this show, part of 2014, the journey is to be consciously aware of every moment, of every interaction, of how we show up in the street, how we show up in our churches or synagogues or temples, how we show up in our family, you know, the openness, the brightness, how we continue to grow and the impact that we can have. So this is the scene where he goes back and he talks to his mom for the first time and he starts to realize, yeah, not deeply yet, but he starts to realize what the town looks like without him and everything is different. You know, the housing development he built, the people that he impacted aren't open and kind and beautiful. One is is destitute, one living on the streets, one's a drunk, you know, because again, he wasn't there to make this influence. He wasn't there to be that sort of guiding light around these different people, right? So here's this scene. Let's have a listen to this one.
Mother.
Mother, what do you want?
Mother, this is George. I thought sure you'd remember me.
George who? If you're looking for a room, there's no vacancy.
Mother, listen, please help me. Something terrible's happened to me. I don't know what it is. Something's happened to everybody. Please let me come in and keep me here until I get over it.
Get over what? I don't take in strangers unless they're sent here by somebody I know.
Well, I know everybody you know. What, your brother-in-law, Uncle Billy.
You know him?
Well, sure I do.
When'd you see him last?
Today, over at his house.
It's a lie. He's been in the insane asylum ever since he lost his business. And if you ask me, that's where you belong.
Wasn't there to help him, right? He wasn't there to help him after his business loss, to help him get out of it.
Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. And when he isn't around, he leaves an awful hole, doesn't he?
I've heard of things like this. You've got me in some kind of a spell or something. Well, I'm going to get out of it. I'll get out of it. And I know how, too. The last man I talked to before all this stuff started happening to me was Martini.
You know where he lives?
Well, sure I know where he lives. He lives in Bailey Park.
And of course, Bailey Park is the development he developed, right? So now it's a graveyard.
Are you sure this is Bailey Park?
No, I'm not sure of anything anymore. All I know is this should be Bailey Park. But where are the houses?
You weren't here to build them. Your brother, Harry Bailey, broke through the ice and was drowned at the age of 9.
That's a lie. Harry Bailey went to war. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Harry wasn't there to save them because you weren't there to save Harry.
You start to see this impact, this jigsaw puzzle. And again, I know this is it's a beautiful story. And again, I've seen this movie a lot of times. And, this idea that the angel says to him right now, he says, you truly had a wonderful life. And here he is on the edge of bankruptcy, looking at this circumstance and making it a reflection of who he is and thinking about ending his life. I mean, to the point where he was about to jump off this bridge. Imagine each one of us could go back if we weren't in the space we're in. And think of all the impacts we may have had. And again, even if you're in a dark place in your life right now, which some people are listening to the show, I get that. And this may not resonate with you as deeply. But trust me, every single thing, there have been people that have been impacted from the time you were a little kid all the way through. Things you've done that have set in motion pathways, set in motion things that have happened that are great things that you have no idea about. And you can't even start to understand in some way. But imagine in 2014, setting out with this understanding that every single action begets a ripple, and that ripple has an impact on people's lives. And the impact on one person's life will ripple into the next, into the next, into the next. So here's this, the end of the story. It's a Wonderful Life. Here he is. He's now sort of at wit's end. He saw his wife. She's an old spinster who works at the library. She's not full of life and love anymore. You know, the cop, instead of being a really kind cop, he's aggressive and mean. And, you know, and people that he knew that were beautiful, you know, one, like I said, was living on the streets. One was a drunk. You know, yeah, the whole town has a dark feeling about it. It was, you know, this mean guy had taken over the town without his influence. And so here he is, you know, he's lost his kids, he's lost his wife, he's seen the world without him. And he realizes in this moment that the money is not important. That they were going to call the loan on his building, call the loan on his business, so he's going to lose everything. And this is him asking for it back. This is him sort of saying, "Hey, listen, no, I want to go back. I don't care about the money. I don't care about the situation. I don't care about these circumstances. What I want is I want my family back. I want my kids back." And he'll deal with it. He's going to go to jail, you know. And he realizes in that moment what's most important in his life. And so let's sort of follow this scene through, and then watch what happens when a community, when you've had impact, when you've helped, and you've done those small tiny things. What can happen? And this is the part where you need the tissues. I mean, you won't get it on this particular show, but when you watch it, I always bawl through this part. So here we go.
I want to live again. Please, God, let me live again.
So the cop that was mean now shows back up on the bridge. He pulls up. He's been looking for him since he's been missing.
Hey, right? George! George! You all right? Hey, what's the matter?
I get out of here, Berger. I'll hit you again. Get out of here.
What the Sam Hill you yelling for, George?
You...
George... Bert, do you know me?
Know you? You kidding? I've been looking all over town trying to find you. I saw your car piled into that tree down there, and I thought maybe you... Hey, your mouth's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
What you... My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu pedals! Zuzu... There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas!
He's realizing everything that was frustrating him. This little town. He realizes that how much he loves everything, obviously.
Merry Christmas, you wonderful old Billy alone! Hey! Happy New Year to you!
That's the old mean guy. He knows he's going to jail. And he's running back into his house. They're ready to arrest him.
Mary! Well, hello, Mr. Bank Examiner.
How are you? Mr. Bailey, there's a deficit.
I know, $8,000.
George, I've got a little paper.
I'll bet it's a warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to jail. Merry Christmas, reporters. Where's Mary? Mary! Oh, look at this wonderful old drafty house. Mary! 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 Have you seen my wife?
Mary!
Yeah,
Mary!
Daddy!
Kids! Hey! Kids, Janie! Janie, call me! Look at you. Oh, I could eat you up. Where's your mother?
We're looking for you.
With Uncle Billy.
Daddy!
Zuzu! Zuzu, my little ginger snap. How do you feel?
Fine! Not a smidge of temper.
Not a smidge of temper. Hallelujah!
Hello.
George!
George, darling, where are you? George, darling, where are you going? Oh, George, 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 George.
Oh,
George.
Oh, George.
Are you real?
Oh, George. George.
Well, you have no idea what's happened to me.
You have no idea what happened. Well, come on, George, come on downstairs. Quick, we're on the way.
All right.
Come on. Come on in here now. Now you stand right over here by the tree. Right there. And don't move. Don't move.
What's happening? Come on.
I hear them coming in. George, it's a miracle. It's a miracle.
What's happening? Who's
got to come, Daddy?
Who, Daddy?
Come in, Uncle Billy. Everybody in here.
George.
Yeah, brother.
I know it's noisy, so you can't hear everything, but you know, now people from all over town are pouring into his house and throwing their dollars and $10 and $20 and just giving back. Here's the martini guy that was the drunken bum on the street. Of course, he's not anymore. He's giving him his money, and they're just pouring in. So it's just wonderful, wonderful scene. Scene, but there the wonderful scene is this last word that's going to come up in a second. But you know, it's this, when you impact a lot of lives, how everyone will show up, right? And it's such an easy thing to get this wonderful life, but first we have this wonderful understanding that here we go.
I get this. That? It's from London.
Oh,
Mr. Gower cabled you need cash. Stop. My office instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Stop. Oh. Hee-haw and Merry Christmas, Sam Wainwright.
Yeah.
Come on, Jeannie. How about some wine?
So that's real community. That's real, really this idea of touching each other's lives in a beautiful way, and that, you know, circumstances don't determine who we are. It's really our character of how we are in each moment, how we act and how we treat people. Now this is the bank guy throws in a dollar of his own money, who was going to arrest him a few minutes ago. And the final scene here, they're just tearing up the warrant for his arrest. And then the brother that he saved when he was 7, who's now a hero, comes walking in. And this is the final scene.
Oh, I left right in the middle of it. As soon as I got Mary's telegram. Good idea, Ernie. A toast. To my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
So as you sort of reflect on that, again, I hope it came across, you know, these are all black and white movies. So, you know, it's not one that maybe is necessarily very, very easy to hear through this medium. But hopefully you get it, right? I mean, it's a simple story. And the fact is that, you know, when I think about Eric Clapton and I look at his life and sort of the ups and downs, and there was a time where he was doing drugs and he'd lost his son. His son had actually died when he was young. He'd fallen out of a window when he was out of the house. And he really went into a tailspin. He sort of, his life sort of ended in that moment in so many ways. And there's a couple of songs on his album that are really, really beautiful. This one here is Tears in Heaven. This is with the sort of a tribute to his son. His son was just a really young kid when he fell out the window. So here.
And carry on, 'cause I know
So again, as we look at this sort of this story unfolding again, and we start looking toward the new year, and ask ourselves that question: is these human skills, this human connection, which can serve us throughout our whole life, is definitely a part which a lot of people don't consider when they're setting their sort of financial goals or their health goals and everything else like that, is really who are they being in every second. In saying that, you know, I read a really great article from Psychology Today, and I think the coach is Caroline Adams Miller. So I just want to recognize her, and she talks about these 10 points that she likes to consider or thinks are worth considering. She says, "Here's what everyone should know to make their New Year's resolution something other than another set of wishes and dreams that go nowhere, and that might remove incentives to even ever try." She says, listen to this. Number one, get a little bit happier first. It's now rock solid science that being in your most positive frame of mind and functioning is the most powerful predictor of any type of success. A landmark 2005 study by Limbrumsky, King, and Dine showed that successes across every single life domain were preceded by being in a flourishing emotional state where positive emotions outweighed negative emotions by 3-1. We do not get happy because we're successful. We become successful because we're happy. And so what's really interesting about that whole idea, you know, one of the shows that you can go back to is the, you know, 5 Steps to Happiness. And we taught a whole program of that. And you can find it in the archives, right? So again, I urge you to go back and listen to those 5 key steps of happiness and how to bring that into your life. Because, you know, again, we want to understand this sort of differentiation between our, you know, our circumstances and the home we live in, the clothes we wear, and those kind of things that drive us, and this sort of deep feeling of contentment and happiness and you know, wonder that it's so possible to live in a world of wonder where each day, you know, we notice and we, because it's so easy to stop noticing, right? It's so easy to be in a rush. It's so easy to not notice how beautiful the trees are outside our home or the flowers or plants, you know, or how beautiful the wind feels on our skin because he's, oh God, that wind is blowing my hair, right? So that's number one. She talks about getting happier. Number two, she says, learn how to put yourself in the most positive frame of mind at all times, flowing directly from point number one. She says, positive psychology researchers have shown that half of our daily happiness flows from what we think about and what we do. The voluntary behaviors that work for almost everyone includes exercise, meditation, journaling, using one's signature strengths, and practicing forgiveness and expressing gratitude. I mean, again, you go back to the show and, you know, we go into depth about some of these things, what science is showing us. If you're one of the people who is considered to be languishing, approximately 80% of us, according to esteemed researcher Barbara Fredrickson, as opposed to flourishing, either incorporate more of what have been shown to be effective or come up with your own plan of known self-starters, right? So, you know, so she talks about those two things again. We look about, there's some simple things that we can be doing that have nothing to do with making money. And I think we want both. I want to make a lot of money this year, but I want to be deeply happy this year as well. I want to have both, right? And again, you know, it's that that sense of wonder. Again, I keep using that word. That sense of wonder. And before we go on, I just want to play another song of the wonderful Eric Clapton. So here we go.
What else can a poor boy do? But my world will be right. Love comes over me. Lately I've been talking. Imagine what I'd have to say.
So number three says, don't set too many self-regulation or willpower goals at once. Roy Baumeister of Florida State University and his research colleagues have discovered that our storehouse of willpower is a finite resource that gets depleted throughout each day, depending on how often you call upon it to override temptation. That means that setting too many willpower goals at once, like losing weight, spending less, exercising more, is destined to fail. Australian researchers found that if you pick just one willpower goal, like exercising in the morning, and focus for 6 to 8 weeks on just that improvement, all other self-regulation behaviors will improve too. And I'm a big believer in that. And I talk about it a lot, about just sort of doing one. Because I know me. I know how hard it is for me. And, you know, I hear a lot of people around me making promises to themselves. And I don't do that very often. I don't make those promises because I do not want to look myself in the mirror in 6 weeks and say, yeah, well, you said you would, but you didn't. So I just don't bother. You know, I hear it a lot and people say, oh, you should do this, you should do that. I don't, right? So my focus this year is on exercise and getting my health and my body back. Cause I spend a lot of time on planes, a lot of time in restaurants and, you know, and it's very, very easy. I don't feel in the best shape. I don't feel great with my shirt off right now. So that's going to be one of my only focuses right now. We're building a business. I haven't set a lot of financial goals around that. I'm setting this particular goal because I know the impact it's going to have on every other area because I am very, very determined as a person, right? Number four, she says, prune dead wood in your social and professional life. As she says, Christakis and Flower have found that behavior is contagious, including gaining weight, quitting smoking, being happy, being lonely, and even having willpower. If your network is full of people whose behavior and values are contrary to what you are striving to accomplish, you stand a strong chance of failing. No matter how much effort you exert in the right direction, don't make it harder for yourself than you need to be. Caller ID, email blocking exists for a reason. You can limit time and energy that is currently glowing to black holes by simply having higher boundaries. You know, I talked about this on my video last week about living life to a higher standard. And I'm going to give you a little cue on that, which we did on the video. I'm not a big believer in blocking people. I'm a big believer in telling people the truth. So even though she talks about, you know, yeah, you can ignore a call. Or you can actually sit down with someone and say, look, you know, is it okay if I share my truth? When I'm around you, I find it's very negative. And I'm trying to do something in my life right now. And I hope you understand. I mean, you can still like people and not like their behavior. You can like people and not like their attitude. But I find that, you know, I much prefer the truth. A lot of people can't handle the truth and a lot of people aren't ready for the truth. So you have to, you know, my 8 most favorite words is tell the truth all the time with compassion. So you need to use a lot of compassion with that one and decide for yourself whether it's the right thing to do. But, you know, yeah, or you can use her technique of blocking. In the end, I think that's, you know, you can choose not to be together, but you don't have to block them out, right? Anyway, number five, she says, fill your environment with positive primes or cues that set you up for success. There's no debate that every moment of every day is filled with aromas, words, people, colors, music, and other primes that make you happy, sad, tired, energized, focused, creative, and grateful, among other emotions. The problem is that most of us are asleep at the wheel to the primes in our lives, and we allow them to dictate what we do as opposed to seizing control of what we expose ourselves to. One unusual tip, change your computer password to reflect your goals and consider getting a vanity license plate or an email address that does the same thing, right? So he's talking about, you know, having those kind of cues around you. It's so easy with screensavers right now. A lot of my friends have their screensavers, you know, their before pictures on their screensavers if they're going for a physical goal. But just surrounding yourself with these cues, that's why vision boards really work. And I have one right by my toilet in in my master bedroom, and I look at it every single time I'm in the toilet, because what else am I going to do in there, right? I don't play my fiddle in there, or my guitar. You know, I sit there and I think, and so I focus my whole energy when I'm in the bathroom on my vision board, and I keep putting those great sort of visuals into my head, and I don't give a crap what anyone thinks when they're in my bathroom. If they, oh, that's weird. Most of those people who think those thoughts are broke, so I don't worry about what broke people think. And one of my favorite sayings, you know, stop taking advice from broke, unhappy people. Let's do number six, and we'll go back to another song with Eric Clapton, but do hard things. It says, no one wants to go outside their comfort zone, but that is exactly what the research shows you must do to achieve worthwhile, life-changing goals. This is where I challenge the conventional advice to have reasonable and reachable goals, because challenging and specific goals, goal-setting theory, produces the best results. And it's often by shooting for the stars that we get farther than we would with what we call low goals, which might also be defined as reachable. Research from the University of San Francisco called it no pain, no gain research has also found that the things we are proudest of at the end of the day and that produce the greatest self-esteem are the things we probably didn't enjoy and that might have made us miserable while we were doing them. Again, this is good stuff. Again, I mean, you may want to listen to this part of the show a couple of times, I really think it's one of those things that is, as we sort of pay attention to it, that if we just follow these simple things, like get happier, you know, use cues, set goals that stretch us, you know, and knowing that these things are going to have a real impact on us, right? You know, prune off the dead wood. I mean, we've been talking about this the whole last, you know, 300 shows. Is that, you know, you become the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. And again, I want to remind you that a lot of the shows that work on these, some of these specifically, are in our archives. So you can go back and you can find specific shows you want to listen to one or two times to help you. All right. This is Eric Clapton. What happened was when he got down and out, I want to talk about this because, you know, I don't kick people when they're down, and I have friends who've made mistakes and friends who, you know, a couple of them who can piss me off at times, you know, because of their behavior, especially if they, you know, drink a lot or stuff like that. Right. But I don't kick people when they're down. I have had conversations with my friends who, some of them who have gone through hard times, but you know, this, idea, of Eric Clapton's song is nobody knows you when you're down and out. This is a guy who was a very rich guy when he went off the rails. The people that were meant to be friends of his, you know, turned their back on him. And I don't think that's the right thing to do. Personally, I don't. I think that, you know, giving people a chance and when people really need it, you know, really, you know, being there when people least expect it, but not being someone who's constantly, you know, being taken advantage of. I'm just talking about when someone's going through a hard time, it's okay to step into their world and be a light source. It's okay to step into their world and offer a hand and say, hey, what's going on? What do you need? All right. And sometimes you do it invisibly. Sometimes you can leave a bag of groceries on their doorstep. Sometimes you can, you know, put some money in their bank account without them knowing, if you're fortunate enough to do that. But again, being observant to those people when they're in a hard time and being okay to go help instead of judging what's going on for them. So I really like this song. Again, this is Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out. Change that. Number seven, she talks about while you are doing hard things, take more risks. The research shows that we regret what we don't try and not what we try that doesn't work out. The happiest people among us have also been found to be risk takers who don't quit when the going gets hard. Number eight, this is a goal for women only. Get some goals that are yours alone this year, and then make sure you carve out time to actually pursue them. For the first time in history, women are now more unhappy than men, with the disparity emerging at midlife. Researchers say it's because women only have about 41 minutes each day to pursue their own meaningful goals. Everyone else, including parents, children, husbands, friends, and work colleagues, have come first for too long. You don't want to pass out programs for other people's lives. Get on the stage of your own life this year with some goals, accountability, and other shifts listed below. Yeah, love that. Great. Number nine, use if-then scenarios to conserve emotional energy and triple your chances of success with hard goals. Peter Goldwitzer found that if you specify a certain cue that you will encounter during your day and you decide what action will follow seeing that cue, you have three times more likely to be successful. An example, mine is when I'm in the shower, right? So my cue is as soon as I'm in the shower, it doesn't matter how I'm feeling, it doesn't matter if I feel sick, whether I've been up all night, whether I drank too much, it doesn't matter what it is, I will come out of that shower completely energized, grateful, powerful, positive. It's like I have this complete shift in my body. I can drag my sorry butt into the shower, but I bounce out of it every single time. She uses the example, when I encounter a stop sign, I will think of three blessings I have in my life. Now, if you create this agreement ahead of time, you'll not have to make a fresh decision to initiate hard behaviors, which is exhausting. Make it a foregone conclusion and save your energy for other things. All right, before we go into the last one, I want to play another Eric Clapton song. Here we go.
Feel like going home. Woke up this morning, all I had was gone. Late over the evening, man. All I had, babe, them all walking blue. Woke up this morning.
He's so good, eh? You could tell this is his comeback album after he'd really gone off the rails. And I think we all can write our own comeback album. It doesn't matter what's going on for us. It doesn't matter, you know, what we missed or whether we, you know, went bankrupt. I have friends that have been bankrupt. Walt Disney went bankrupt 7 times. That's why they changed the bankruptcy laws. I don't look at bankruptcy as a failure. I look at it as a lesson. I've never been bankrupt, and it's easy for me to say that, but I have gone through it with some friends closely. And again, I'm not my house. I'm not my money in the bank. I'm not any of those things. And if I lose them all, I know deep down in my heart that it's going to be an easy bounce back. Because guess what? That's a mindset that is a choice. You know, Donald Trump did that. He lost everything and, you know, he came back. He had a billionaire mindset and came back as a multi-billionaire. But, you know, he lost it all. He lost his father's money. So, you know, again, the character that he had at the end of the day was for him to rebound, and he did, you know, but that was on his own merits, which was, again, not when he was, you know, given a fortune in the beginning, right? So number 10. Have goals. If you don't already, the happiest people wake up every day to clear-cut goals, short-term and long-term, that involve building relationships with others, making a difference in the lives of others, and making the space you inhabit a bit kinder and brighter. What a great way to enter 2014. Now, and with that being said, I want to talk a little bit about the video I sent out and just use a personal example of that, because I really want to make sure I make a public declaration. So the, you see, I'm doing two things here, right? You can tell I'm setting something up as well. But the what we talked about is this, is that if you look at an area of your life that's not working for you, an area that, you know, has the most pain for you right now, for me, it's my physical body. And, you know, again, I'm just not feeling great. If I'm out swimming or anything like that, I feel like I'm just loose. I feel like I've got a little bit of a belly, right? And again, this is obviously being very open to everyone, right? And so I look at, then what do? I write sort of what's going on for me as a thing. So what's going on for me right now is I feel crappy in my own body. I'm not as strong as I want to be and as I used to be. I don't feel great when I'm naked. I don't feel great when I'm swimming. My body is not a reflection of the power of my own thinking. So I've allowed that to slip. I put myself last a lot the last 2 years because of the work I do. I put a lot of people first and I don't look after myself sometimes. So that's what's going on. Then I look at, so what are the habits that have created that feeling? Well, first off, I haven't been exercising every day, right? Secondly, I've been staying up really, really late a lot, right? Thirdly, I've been eating a lot of food at restaurants, a lot of rich food, because I have this thing where I always get the waiter to bring their favorite meal. Well, now this year I want to have, you know, bring me your favorite meal that's healthy, you know? So it's different. I can still do my same thing, but I don't have to have all this rich food. I've been drinking a lot of wine with my food and maybe drinking too often. So maybe I'm going to come back, not maybe, but that's one of the behaviors that have created that. And put other things first, made other things important. So, you know, taking on too many other tasks where I don't have the time to exercise and not putting exercise into my calendar. So those are the habits that have led or contributed to how I'm feeling about my physical body right now. So then what do I want my body to look like? Well, what I want my body to look like, and this is an exercise that you can do right now, is setting a new resolution. Again, I'm only setting one big one this year, is about me, my health, my physical body, right? So how do I want it to feel? I want it to feel when I rip my shirt off and dive into a lake, I'm proud of how I look and that my body reflects my lifestyle, reflects my mental game, reflects my finances. That really my body is a total reflection of somebody who leads a great life, has a kick-ass life, has a kick-ass body. Okay. And some of the habits that I'm going to create around that, the new habits, is first of all, is to exercise every day in some way. Without any excuses. And I'm going to make sure it's put in the calendar. My assistant, Denise, will make sure that I have exercise time embedded in my calendar, which means some days I'll have to get up really early to do it. I'm going to make sure that when I order food, I order healthy food, that I do 2-day cleanses every 2 weeks instead of which I've been doing, which is about once every month. I have an incredible cleansing regime, which I can follow, which is amazing. So I'm going to start using my regime more strictly as far as cleansing, getting the toxins out of my body. I'm going to hire a personal coach as far as fitness coach to help me with that. And again, to hold me accountable to my own words. And I've already entered into a challenge right now as a body transformation challenge, which any of you want to do that with me, if you're looking for a vehicle to do that, I'm happy to share mine and we can do it together. That's fine, right? So that being said, you know, that's a strategy of you setting a new resolution. So what's the problem area? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What are the habits that have created that? What do you want it to look like? What's the picture going to look like? And what are the new habits that you have to have in place to create what you're looking for? That's a way to set a new resolution. And with that being said, I think we'll do one more song. And I'm just sort of go through here. Here we go. Here's one. This is My Next Province. Here we go. Alberta, Alberta, the wonderful Eric Clapton. Don't forget, you can go to the show notes and get the links to these songs. And I do want to say happy, happy, happy new year. Again, simple stuff, you know, become happier first and then set these goals, but set resolutions that don't take on too many willpower goals all at once. Use visual cues around you, you know, to really help trigger that. You know, don't hang around with negative people. And if you do, you know, make sure that they understand that you're not going to tolerate the negativity. They can change to be around you, but you don't have to spend a lot of time with them. You know, always be helping out. You know, look for ways to help everyone at all times to build a wonderful life. And imagine that everything you do right now will either affect or infect someone. And the idea is that we can change our world, the world that we live in. And we can change people's lives just by our presence without, you know, we don't even have to know them very well. But we can have an influence on everyone we walk past at all times. So remember that. And with that being said, you know, I know we're over time here, but I want to wish you the greatest and wonderfulest new year. I do apologize if some of the show was hard to hear. I couldn't really tell because, again, I'm the editor, the producer, everything right now. I will send it over to Casey to have wave his magic wand on it before it comes out to you. But happy new year, everyone. And I'll definitely see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.